Today, we sit down with Rogers State University President Dr. Larry Rice. He's been a police officer, a truck driver, and a state representative. So many stories, so little time. Let's find out what it's like to lead from high atop the hill on this episode of Locally Home. Welcome, everybody, to Locally Home. I am Travis Peck, the Alumni Director here at Rogers State University in Claremore, Oklahoma. We are up here on the hill with the one, the only, Dr. Larry Rice, President, CEO, King, and World Champion of Rogers State University. Is that appropriate, Dr. Rice? Is that okay?
You may have embellished it a little bit, Travis, but it is a privilege to be here. It's a privilege to be on this podcast with you. It's also a privilege to now complete about 13 and a half years as President of Rogers State, and this is my second tour of duty here, but it's a wonderful place, and I love it.
That's right. You've got connections going back, I think, 1979, I believe, is what I read on your bio there. And what were you doing in 1979 Rogers State College?
I convinced or conned Dr. then-President Mosier into hiring me as a criminal justice faculty member. They had an opening. They had a part-time criminal justice program here at I think it was called Claremore Junior College. I'm not positive in 79 either. I don't think it converted to Claremore Community College. I think it's still called Claremore Junior College. They had a part-time program here in criminal justice, and they wanted full-time. So I applied, and lo and behold, I probably was the only one that applied that had a master's degree and some certified police officer experience. And so Dr. Mosier was kind enough to hire me, and so started full-time faculty and stayed until 11 and a half years, and then getting elected to the legislature was a privilege, but it required me to transition from this state job to another state job. And with that, I eventually went to work with University of Tulsa because the legislature is part-time.
Right. So you jumped out. Okay. So let's back up a little bit here. I know you didn't start off, as a higher ed person. So you said you had some police experience, but let's go back even further. What was that first job you had in high school, if you had a job in high school?
I did. I had my first job was the summer between my eighth grade, after I graduated from the eighth grade at Maisie, for my graduating class. So I tell people I'm graduating the top four. And so quite an honor to graduate in the top four.
It's pretty good. That's pretty
good. My wife usually corrects and tells people the rest of the story, but anyway, Maisie, great education, small farming community. My folks had a small farm, and my dad worked off the farm. But he would not let me work off the farm until after I got out of the eighth grade. I went to work the summer of after eighth grade for a neighboring farmer who had had an elderly farmer who'd had an accident and lost a limb. And so he still had the knowledge, but he didn't have the physical ability. And so he taught me a lot. He would allow me to do everything except run the combine. The combine did not have a cab on. He thought that's too dangerous. But we did all of the farm planting. We planted wheat, and I did plowing, harrowing, disking, running a drill. Of course, he had to show me how to set the drill, so I didn't put the whole bag in one row. But it was quite an experience. And then he liked my work ethic, so he kept me on during the winter to help him feed his cows. And so I did that for a long time until I got my driver's license. So, because rural kids would drive in the rural roads, and so
sure.
I had a vehicle, even though I was only beginning to start my freshman year of high school, and I was only 14, I had a vehicle. It was a hand-me-down, but we'd stay on the country roads, and we'd drive to work, or I would not drive to school until I got my driver's license, but my dad would let me drive to work with the neighboring farmers. So learned a lot from that individual. Also learned that it was hard work, very rewarding, but I did not want to be a full-time farmer when I grew up.
So you have you graduated with a class of four. So I didn't have that experience here at Claremore. I graduated with just about 300, but I still got in trouble for talking too much. So how did you manage that? Like, how did you manage four people? Surely there's a lot of getting called out for whatever you did because, it's kind of hard to hide four people.
Yeah. I can say this now because he's deceased, but our seventh and eighth grade was in the same room. Third, fourth, and fifth was in the same room, and first, second, third grade. We did not have kindergarten. So only had three teachers. And so seventh, eighth grade was in one room, and the principal was a bus driver, basketball coach, and he didn't have a paddle. He just take off his belt.
Ooh.
So there wasn't a whole lot of talking out, but very rewarding. You know, played a lot of. We played basketball. We had fun. He would take us down to Northeastern to their basketball arena. I thought it was New York. I'd never been out of the state, I don't think, and I thought it was something I'd see in New York. It was so big, and the old Redmond arena there. But he was a great guy. Took us on a lot of opportunities, a lot of field trips, and what the thing I remember most, he loved giving us experiences. He knew we were just. He had a master's degree in math from TU, so
oh, wow.
I did well in math when I transferred on to Choctaw. But he would give us life experiences. He'd even hire some of the poor kids to work on his farm part-time. He would take us, as I mentioned, to basketball games. He would take us on different types of field trips. But more importantly, I remembered that the World Series was played during the daytime, and this was in the 60s, mm-hmm. late 60s, and he would bring in a little portable TV set with rabbit ears or individual little antenna in the house type thing, and let us watch the World Series. And I, you know, it just wouldn't happen today. Number one, they don't play in the afternoon
right,
anymore.
Right.
But it was pretty cool, and things were pretty simple. There was maybe two, maybe three TV stations and one radio station we could get. But he gave us a lot of life experiences. He was a good role model. His wife was also my first grade teacher, and we stayed in touch, and she campaigned for me. Many years later, she was almost 90 by the time I ran for office, but she campaigned for me. And so it was a great opportunity. I grew up, and I have to take that one step further. My parents did not have a high school education. They had a grade school education mm-hmm. due to circumstances. And I was the youngest of five children. So I had the advantage of my older brothers and sisters helping me and my parents helping me as well, because they all wanted myself to have a college degree. Later in life, some of my brothers and sisters obtained a college degree, but I was the first to graduate that I know of from my family. Now, all my brothers and sisters graduated from high school, but I was the first to graduate from college, and my mom and dad was immensely proud of that. And my father died before I was elected to the legislature, and so he missed that. But my brothers and sisters would all campaign for me. They helped me get my degree. You know, gave me food, clothing, and shelter, and I worked. But they were immensely helpful, and I was just blessed to be number five.
Yeah, that's a lot. I've got a brother-in-law with five kids that are, you know, under the age of 14, and we only have the one, so I don't even know what that looks like to have five kids to worry about. But you talked about something that I kind of want to touch on, which is those life experiences that he gave you. Mm-hmm. If there's anything that hasn't changed to me, it's being able to see things before you can maybe do them, right? Because you can always dream, you know, and back in the 60s, you had three TV stations, you didn't have the internet, you weren't looking at your phone all day, every day. And today, you know, I think some of these kids and, you know, future students get lost in that. And at the same time, if you don't get out of your house and get out of your town and see what the world's about, you might miss out on a whole lot. So can you kind of talk about, I know you've been in higher education now for a while. Maybe can you give me a little bit about what a student looked like, you know, 30 years ago versus now, even, in your head?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, I did not start to school. I graduated in May of 1971. Vietnam War was still going on, not as strong, mm-hmm. and I had a low draft number. So I assumed I was going to be drafted. So I did not start school in the fall, a traditional fall student. Did not get drafted, so I started in January. And then I had some time to make up, so I hurried and graduated in 3.5 years. But it was very typical, not unlike today. I had the privilege of living I lived in a dorm for a while. Then I lived in an apartment with two individuals I'd never met before in my life. But a third person said, "You'll like them, and you all are compatible." And we are, and we were, and we are. We still see each other. Even today, this 30, 40 years later, we still see each other, have lunch occasionally. And all of us ended up in education that roomed together, so which was interesting. Huh. But the student was similar today. I see some long hair here. We all had long hair. You know, even the cowboys, you know, and I considered myself a cowboy growing up on a farm. I had a horse and cattle and all those things. I grew up hunting and fishing a 2,000-acre ranch that my uncle owned, and my father's 100 acres was conveniently located next door.
Nice.
And so, but the college students were about the same. There's always been issues. Those were the days of college streakers, if some of you are old enough, you know, were there was a days of a protest, Vietnam protest later. There was a lot of upheaval, not unlike today. There's just different issues. The academics were still strenuous, and you know, you couldn't use Google. If you wanted to do a research paper, you had to go to the library and then you paid somebody legally to type it. And we didn't have computers or cell phones, but you went to the library, did all your note cards, and learned how to do research and those kind of things. But the students, I'd say, were different in the fact that they were more purposeful. They didn't have we didn't have to deal with social media, mm-hmm. bullying. You know, there were bullies, but they do it to your face, and you know, you had to get up enough courage to do something about it or get one of your buddies to help. But so we didn't have it was a good and bad time. We were limited. I didn't know that I could go to school anywhere else. No one recruited me. No one encouraged me to go to college other than my family. I don't think that they thought we were really college material because we had fun in high school, played a lot of sports, but I did receive a good education in spite of my resistance.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing too is even today, I think that there's back then you had almost nobody, you know, reaching out to you, and now you have everybody reaching out to you.
Exactly.
So it is a whole different set of issues, you know, as the alumni director, and I've only been in this role just, you know, a year and a half, it's interesting to go back and try to talk to different students from different times here at RSU, because for those of you listening that don't know, Rogers State University now has been here, you know, 20 years, an accredited four-year university, but before that, you know, we went through a bunch of different iterations of junior college, and even before that, as the prep school, and so there's a vast array, if you will, of alums out there that make up what is an alum from RSU. So I think that one of the great things that's happened over the last time here with you here on campus is just your ability to reach out and using those political lines even to enhance the student experience, but also you know, getting good faculty, good staff here on the Hill to make things work better. So what would you say has been one of the biggest challenges maybe for you personally here last, I don't know, time on the Hill? How about that?
The biggest challenge that I think that I face is the lack of funding. Mm-hmm. You know, the state went through some tough times, and so we had our biggest growth when we were adding programs. And, of course, it's a chicken and egg. You have to have the faculty members to design the programs or design the curriculum. And so lack of adequate resources is probably the biggest issue that we have and continue to have. And we're working our way forward. We've had considerable amount of cost containment measures. We've eliminated programs that were underperforming, or we felt like that we could better use our resources in different areas of, and some of these were accredited programs, and some were just things that we did, good things that we did. We had a child care facility, but we never could figure out how to make it break even. We never could figure out how to run the food service without going in a hole. We never could figure out a lot of things, and so the things that didn't have a credit, an academic credit, we tried to eliminate and allow others to do it for us, and so we've been able to save millions of dollars the last 13 years, not because of my efforts, but I had great people suggesting that. The faculty and staff, the faculty looked for ways to cut costs. I had Tom Voltero, now Dr. Razor, that continues to look for ways to save money. And at the end of the day, you know, we went from 70% funded by the state to 30% funded. We've had to raise some tuition fees along the way. But at the end of the day, we have our strongest growth when we're able to continue to add programs that our area needs. We need. We feel strongly we need to be responding and reactive to the workforce needs. Not everyone gets a degree, so we're today the focus. That's another thing has changed. Before it was you had to get a degree. Well, today it's a degree, a certificate, or badge, and so we're offering. We're also offering an extended array of associate degrees, and so. But all of that is it, and higher ed will continue to change, and I don't know what the future looks like. In my heart, I believe there'll be the traditional student who wants to live on campus and experience that growing up, if you would. Then there'll be that student that wants to stay at home or whatever, or you know, do online classes. So I really believe going forward there will be a good mixture of both. we are, of course, you know, we're the only traditional four-year baccalaureate school in the Tulsa metro area where you can live on campus and have a traditional college experience. And I'm very proud of that because that helps us grow up. It helps our students who've never been, many of them never been on an airplane. We give them a study abroad opportunity or at least a Washington internship. They can pick and choose some a variety of programs. They also get to meet people who are not just like themselves. That was a disadvantage that I had. Everybody I grew up with was just like me. Now, I live right in the heart. I remember Bill Clinton says he grew up in Hope, Arkansas, a very blended community. I grew up on Brushy Creek. We had a strong African-American community. We didn't know there was any issues until I left and went off to college. We all lived together, worked together, and we had a strong Native American. So my friends were Native American as well as African Americans. But we were somewhat limited even with that role, but we didn't know the outside forces of the world and biases and things until we all went. And, you know, I remember in the high school, I had some experiences. We would go to Future Farmers of America events, and one time a mother took us in a pickup, in the back of a pickup with a wooden camper to Kansas City Royal, the big livestock show. That was a big deal to us. But we had a mother that volunteered to take us. A lot of life experiences. Life experiences are important. You know, during my police officer days, I learned how to drive a truck to support my police officer habits. And then when I started teaching, it was not much better. So I learned to continue driving a truck and working with – since I was a certified officer, I could also work part-time as a police officer, security guard. So I've had a Cinderella career. Everything I've had has helped prepare me for not only my legislative career but my academic career. And I feel strongly about what we do, Travis.
Yeah.
I can relate to a lot of these students that I didn't know if I could pass a college class in 1971. I had no idea. I was scared the first time I went to.
Well, and I think that's true, too. It goes back to what you said earlier about those life experiences. And I think that one of the best parts about Rogers State University, to me, is the diversity. Because, you know, I grew up here in Rogers County. You can go look at the population statistics and see what that looks like. And, you know, I think that having RSU here in Claremore in Rogers County and having people from literally all over the world, I mean, literally all over the world, that changes your perspective on things. You're in a classroom with somebody from halfway or all the way around the world, and they just have a different life experience growing up. You know, it's easy to get stuck, like you said, with people that you know and what that looks like. And then when big issues come up nationally and you see these things, you think, well, I don't understand how this could be. Well, you can't see it from somebody else's perspective if you've never met them or you've never been out in the world like that. I had the privilege growing up. My dad kind of traveled all over the country, and we got to go. He was worked for Hydro Hoist Boat Lifts here in town and was a salesman, and we went all over the place. And it was it was a great time. And I really think that shaped who I am. And you said, you know, you got to go to Kansas City, see that game, or go to livestock show.
Kansas City Royal.
Yeah,
big deal.
Kansas City Royal livestock show. What after you got down farming as a younger child, and then you move on to college, what's your first professional job then? Did you come out of college with?
My first professional job was with the police department.
Okay.
That was my first professional job, followed by a faculty teaching position at Claremore Junior College.
Okay. So you were there kind of at the same time. I mean, they were kind of – I mean, you overlapped then?
A little bit. I worked at the police department long enough to get my master's degree.
Okay.
I hasten to say there was President Johnson in the 70s had declared war on poverty and crime, so there was federal money for police officers to go to school. So that was a motivating factor to go ahead and as it ended up, it served me well. But sign on to the police department. I had my bachelor's degree, had graduated debt-free because everybody helped me, and I worked. I worked in the full-service service station, if you can imagine what that might have been like. And among other things. Anyway, after all of that, the police department, I stayed there to get my master's paid for, and then I was able to go to work here with a master's degree. And also, not only was a faculty member, but I also Dr. Moore said, "Well, you're a certified police officer. You can just have also be in charge of the campus police."
Oh, nice!
And then a few weeks later, he said, "You can also be in charge of our indoor rifle range." And so, all those were life experiences. Great, met some great people along the way, and we no longer have a rifle range, but we used to teach riflery as an Olympic sport here. And so,
yeah.
So but Roger State's a special place.
It is a special place, and it's funny because I have access to some of those old, yearbooks, and it's pretty funny to look at the pictures of these guys holding their rifles in the rifle club and all of those things, and also just the diversity and the difference in students from the 80s to today, for example. We had a lot of international students back then that were coming for different reasons, right, for the two-year programs. And then also, I think I even sent you a text message of a picture of you from, I think, about 1988 with a really nice mustache. That
it was not gray either.
It was not gray. It was awesome though. You looked appropriate for the time. Let's put it that way. Absolutely. So let's talk about that. Somewhere along the way, you talked some wonderful woman into marrying you too. So
I did.
When did that come along?
Peggy and I, we met in the late 80s, and after 4 years of courtship, I convinced her to marry me. I showed her a lot of cattle around my house. I didn't tell her I didn't own them. I just said, "Look at all those wonderful cows." And so, she was a former bank officer with Bank First and had moved to Tulsa to work for the Tulsa Chamber. And that's a new period of my life we haven't talked about.
Yeah.
After I was elected to legislature, I had to look for a different job since Roger State, Claremore Junior College, was state-supported. So I was able to go to work at the University of Tulsa, mm-hmm, in the fall of 1991. And so that's actually when we met. Because it was my first event to go to with the University of Tulsa, and they were playing the University of Arkansas. So Peggy was there with the University of Arkansas doing her chamber role. She had people in tow like Alice Walton and folks like that. Now, this was 1991, and Alice was getting ready to start. She had an investment company and RBS Bank and Lama. So anyway, that's how we met. The University of Tulsa played in the old Civic Center. There was only one VIP room, so we were all
in one spot.
All in one spot. But I was, again, very Cinderella career, being blessed to spend 17 years at the University of Tulsa.
Wow.
I started out part-time and was promoted, even though I was part-time in the legislature, they were generous to let me have time off, and end up being chief of staff for two presidents, and traveled immensely. So that was a real, real highlight of my career, was being in the president's office. I had access to the provost. I had access to donors. I had access to, trustees at the University of Tulsa. It was a time I had access to department chairs, deans, and it really enhanced my career and helped prepare me for the role of a president. And I'm not sure one can be totally prepared until one has been in the role of a president. But my years at the University of Tulsa were very special. Did an inordinate amount of travel, both in the United States as well as abroad. And I can't say enough about the quality of that school. And let me hasten to say, too, you mentioned were a preparatory. We started as a preparatory school here in 1909. Then we transgressed and morphed into one of the premier military academies. And I always want – they're our strongest alumni, and you know that.
Oh, absolutely.
Because Claremore Junior College had wonderful alumni, and they give, but many of them went on to a four-year school, and a four-year school got their clutches on them. So, but the Oklahoma Military Academy has put us on the map. They're our strongest alumni, our legacy gifts. They're the reason we have Boots on the Hill today. When the state of Oklahoma wanted to cut that program out, it's sort of like ROTC. It's a Guard Officer Leadership Program. Our alumni said, "No, whatever the cost is, we're going to fund it, and we're going to make it happen, and we want Boots on the Hill." And so they're just so strong. And we have the Claremore Junior College, Claremore Community College. We have Roger State College. All those are wonderful alumni. But in some cases, we've lost their contacts, or they went on to a four-year school. But Roger State is now a university, 21 years old. Let me hasten to say that my dentist here in town is an RSU alum.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're so proud of that. My wife just went to physical therapy, and her doctor of physical therapy was a recent graduate about 4 years ago of Roger State. So it's so fun to see. And And let me also say that some of the Claremore Junior College have been some of our largest and most loyal donors, too. But we just, we've got to continue graduating folks out of Rogers State University. And those, they're loyal. They appreciate the education they get. And it's a special place.
Oh, it absolutely is. And I think that when you talk about running into these alums, and this is kind of where I was coming from, coming back to this role. You know, I graduated from here in 2008. I'm long-time Claremore resident and all that. You know, you only hear about two universities most of the time when you're, you know, here in Oklahoma. And the thing is, there's so many people that don't have that opportunity to go to a larger state school, even especially than a TU or something like that. But when you come to Rogers State University, something that we talk about and we promote, and this sounds like I'm doing a commercial, but, you know, it's that faculty to student ratio. It's being able to know the people's names walking around campus and really those interactions. And so kind of back to what we were talking about earlier with students being on their phone or being in their computer or being in their home, you know, if we can get you here on the Hill and you can reach out and be in touch with these people that are really caring about what you're going to do, it's just tremendous to me. The alumni that I've run into lately, what I've tried to tell them is, you know, champion it, right? Be as loud as one of those Sooner Cowboy fans and talk about where you went to school. Because, of course, some of these people come here and then go off. But a lot of them don't. You know, there's some great stories out there of people that, oh, I'm going to go to RSU for a year and see how it goes. Or their parents might encourage that, you know, and then they end up staying the whole time. So, you know, Kyle Beggs from over, you know, in prior year, neck of the woods, he was one of those. And I hope he doesn't mind me telling the story on him on this podcast. His dad said, no, you're going to have to get those grades up before we send you anywhere else. And he came to RSU, ended up staying all 4 years, got his degree, and, you know, is doing great things in the community and great things with all those businesses. So, I, you know, we hear more and more examples of that, and I appreciate when you reach out to me and say, hey, I ran into an alum, and this is what they're doing, because that's the only way we're going to learn and know. We try to track everybody, but, you know, people get busy doing what they're doing with life, and sometimes they need to be reminded, and almost every person that I've talked to talks about how important their time here was, no matter what they did after. Let's talk about what's coming up maybe in the next few years here. We've been, you know, discussing things here on campus about growth and, you know, right, enrollment and all those things like you have to at a university all the time. But what do you see as a trending situation for RSU?
Okay. Two or three things. We've not talked about Bartlesville and Pryor.
Right.
Bartlesville is unique in the fact that we now have become ingrained as part of the workforce selection, if you would, for ConocoPhillips. Mm-hmm. Once we got our first internship there, they've been very gracious to support us, as well as the Phillips 66, the research station. So, and other Bartlesville too. The city manager of Bartlesville is one of our alums, mm-hmm. And so Bartlesville is a little bit different in its mission, being a high rise downtown, and we want to expand offerings there and offer more degrees in Bartlesville as that community continues to grow and prosper. And then Pryor, it is fast becoming a strong focus on technical workforce development. It's taking on a life of its own through the support of the Mid-American Industrial Park, through some very innovative programs with Pryor Public Schools and Google and those folks. And here on this campus, we're still committed to a traditional four-year experience for those who want that experience. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind that half of the people that walk through our doors are non-traditional. People like Stephen Burris, who's now is a bank president. He once he was a bricklayer.
Yeah, I believe so.
And Kevin Fortna, now a CPA, who once was a cement finisher like my father was. And so half of what we do is those non-traditional students that walk through our door, as well as the 18-year-old that walks through our door that wants to have a traditional college experience, live on campus, and belong to a fraternity, sorority, or maybe play some sports, but be involved in an SGA student government. So that's, I think what we do best here at all three campuses is allow our students to understand that there's a brave new world out there and that we equip them to go and do that. And so when I recruit, and I know I'm deviating a little bit from the question,
but when
I recruit, I tell mm-hmm. students and their families, ask these two questions. Can I get a job when I leave here? Mm-hmm. Or can I get into graduate school when I leave here? And the answer has to be yes, or you should not consider going to that school.
So, yeah.
And so I think the future, we're raising money for our new science STEM building.
Mm-hmm.
2018, we brought in Gray and Associates and said, look at what we do here. You know, tell us if we're reacting properly to where we are, our location, the job demands, and so forth. And so they looked at what we did and said, you know, you need to sunset these programs. You need to grow these. You need to add these. And the only thing that we've not done because of lack of space is they suggested that there's a strong need for chemical engineering. And so that is something. And sure enough, we've looked and talked to our business and industry folks in Claremore, Catoosa, Pryor, Bartlesville, and they said, yes, that chemical engineering would be a logical thing to do. So we're excited about that. So I think, you know, we're in the MIAA and on the sports side. We've transitioned to NCAA Division II.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, ultimately we'll build a new arena, you know, whether it be in cooperation with the city or whoever, but a new multipurpose arena. We just have to get some serious fundraising, either state, federal, private, to our very next project has to be a new science building, a new STEM building for the science, technology, engineering, and math, and so forth. But as we go forward, you know, we obviously, with the right partnerships, and let me hasten to say the Cherokee Nation is a huge partner of what we do because we are in the heart of the Cherokee Nation, and they feel so strongly about education and public education. So we have a lot of opportunities for partnerships out there, and someday, Travis, we're going to keep adding master's programs, but someday, by state statute, we can have one professional school here. It may be a doctorate of X.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what that will be yet, but it will be exciting. It won't happen in my tenure, but we're excited about the opportunity to offer a professional degree beyond a master's.
I love it.
Here. And so we've got some really talented faculty and staff that sacrificed to get us through the lean. We've had some lean years. It was not easy to do furloughs. We're committed to making sure that this university has and will be on solid financial footing. We know that we have to continue raising private money, and a shout out to our foundation that's probably on track to do $1 million worth of private scholarship aid. And so we've got new partnerships with renewed partnerships with Tulsa Community College. We're now offering classes at OU Tulsa at 41st and Yale. So the things are really changing in higher education, and they have to be reflective of business, industry, and our customers, which is sometimes an 18-year-old, sometimes it's a 40-year-old.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and I think going back to something you touched on just a little bit here, but you said when you're out recruiting, which I think is a good thing to point out, that I think that everybody that works at a university should be recruiting at all times.
Absolutely.
And if you're, you know, have an opportunity to have a one-on-one conversation, or if you're in the room full of, you know, 100 people, then you should be recruiting and mentioning Roger State University. And I think probably you do that better than anybody here, obviously. Yeah. And I know that's kind of part of your job, but at the same time, I know that you mean it. It's not that you're just, you know, saying the things you're supposed to say. And I think that's really true of most of the people and the alums that are proud to be from Roger State University. Is they don't hesitate to talk about it. You just sometimes have to get them going on that.
There's nothing more rewarding than talking to a potential student in a checkout line.
Mm-hmm.
That checkout line could be anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they come to Roger State, you feel an immense satisfaction that you helped that student. And when they graduate, you feel doubly immense that. Peggy and I had the privilege of engaging a young lady that waited on us at Los Cabos a few years ago. And lo and behold, she took my invite to come to Roger State. And she's in her second or third year of medical school now at the University of Kentucky.
Oh, nice.
We'll never forget her. She, along the way, some faculty members encouraged her to apply to medical school. And she was accepted to 3 medical schools.
Wow.
And she chose University of Kentucky because her family had relocated. But one of the happiest days of my life is when I shake those students' hands and give them their diploma. When they cross that stage, some of them are 50 years old, some of them are older, some of them are a lot younger. And you look out in the audience, and there are people out there in overalls, there are people out there in suits, and there's people out there in every imaginable. But that's who we are, and we're proud of that. Some of them have taken 8 years to graduate because they work full time, and they're soccer moms and dads, and they can't take 15 hours. Oftentimes they're part time. Oftentimes they're veterans, and so we're just immensely proud when any student completes his or her degree, and 90% of the time, not probably 95% of the time, they've already got a job, and they know where if they want it, they may be going off to graduate school in law or medicine and those kind of things, or psychology. And let me put in a plug, too. We're the only school that Dallas Police Department recruits at, and it has nothing to do with my early days of starting the program, but I'll take some credit for that. But our folks in criminal justice, they've got a pipeline there, and Dallas recruits here, Tulsa, and, of course, the small departments, too. But it's a special place, and Peggy and I both. Peggy's parents did not have a high school education either. They were full-time farmers.
Wow.
And we really feel passionate about what we do.
Oh, absolutely. I think that you guys basically have been the face for quite a while now, and when you think Dr. Rice and RSU, they're just, you know, one and the same. What would you say is something that you said you're most proud of, you know, shaking those hands and talking to those prospective students. Let me back up. I want to say, what were you most proud of? I want to say, what do you think your legacy will be here, if you will, when you decide to go? I'm not rushing you out the door or anything,
right,
just so
right.
you're.
And hopefully some of the legacies yet to be.
Sure.
I think the legacy will be that Roger State continued to grow, not only physically, but also from an academic standpoint, new programs, and that we continued to meet the needs with little funding, that we, our devoted faculty and staff, we continued to meet the needs of our service area, that we were able to continue offering new degrees and have the courage to not offer those that we shouldn't be offering, that others can do better or less expensive. But I think that's our legacy, and I hope that my legacy, both with Peggy and I, because where else can you have the First Lady give you a cooking class?
Right.
But I hope our legacy is that we've played a small role in the transition to this being a university town, university city. We're so thrilled with what's happening between the city of Claremore and Roger State. More Claremore, Grow Claremore, Claremore Collective. We now have a district that encompasses in the planning and zoning that encompasses Roger State. And so we're thrilled with the developments on this end. So I hope part of my legacy is that we were able to, in some small way, impact policy through that town and gown experience and to have this city accept us. And as there's lots of evidence that we're becoming a university city. And hopefully my legacy will be is that I was fair to all, that even though we may have a difference of opinion, that I was a good listener and that I was a servant leader.
Nice.
That's too fair. Much legacy. Too much.
No,
legacy.
That's great.
All boils down to being a servant leader, I think.
Oh, I think that's key.
Yeah.
I think that's there's different ways to rule, and that's a really, really good one to go by. That's funny you transitioned right into the city of Claremore. You live here on campus.
Yes, we do.
City of Claremore change.
Yeah.
I mean, especially over just these last 10, 15 years.
Exciting. It's exciting.
It's super exciting. And it's one of those things, you know, coming from my background of working with, I worked in downtown Tulsa for about 8 years, drove back and forth, commuted from Claremore. And, you know, it's hard to come back from Tulsa at 6-7 o'clock at night and decide to go out and do something in town. So I kind of lost connection there for a little bit. And then I got to working with More Claremore, and we were, you know, promoting events and talking about things going on. But the city of Claremore has just really grown in the last 10 years with events and even building of, you know, bars and restaurants downtown and just those types of things where if you want that quote unquote true college experience, it's growing that direction.
Absolutely.
And I think it's been wonderful. You know, we had Maggie on this as well and talking about economic development, and Roger State University is one of those key driving forces in economic development for Rogers County.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I think the city of Claremore has appreciated it in the past, but I think now more than ever they see where that is and that retention of students coming out of even just Rogers County high schools to Rogers State and like you said, advancing your education as a non-traditional. So what is your take on the city changing and how have you liked what you've seen, I guess, assuming you liked what you've seen?
Oh, absolutely like what we're seeing, and we appreciate the city. The county's reaching out to us. We have great support from the county commissioners, but the city, the managers, the city council, it's a it's a different place than when we arrived in 08. And let me hasten to say that the town and gown relations were not all the city's fault. We had to do better at reaching out. And it is exciting about the leadership in Claremore, what's going on in Claremore. It's exciting about the new businesses that are coming to town. It's just a new day. There's more rooftops. It just makes you feel good to know that, you know, we're hosting the Christmas parade again. And so things like that. And then Roger State, and you mentioned athletics, they do so much behind the scenes, and they require a lot of community service. And these athletes are in the Claremore Elementary School systems mm-hmm. every week. You know, we have our Student Government Association has Easter egg hunts. They put on a variety of things. We just recently hosted the statewide conference of Indian women. You know, there's so many diverse. There's plays up here to go to. There's people. We encourage our faculty and staff to be on boards, commissions, and involved in nonprofits. We have faculty members deeply engaged with nonprofits and charities here, not only in Claremore but other places. I know SafeNet. My wife and I, we work with Shoto Macy Public School Foundation with the prior schools. And so there's we want our folks involved, and we want the folks from the community. We're undergoing a strategic plan, and we've had community members from all the cities, the three major cities we serve, Bartlesville, Claremore, and Pryor. We've had stakeholders on that strategic planning committees that Dr. Milliken is hosting. And it's been quite interesting to have those on there. But it's important that we know, we hear from our stakeholders, and that we're doing what they want us to do as much as possible. And they're appreciate that. I think the city of Claremore and Bartlesville and Pryor appreciate what we do. The bulk of our budget is spent in Claremore. It's a $50 million budget, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
We only get about half of that from the state, so actually less than half of that from the state. Our appropriation, we have a state appropriated budget, but the state does not fully fund it. It's the state portion of that, of all that budget is about $10.6 million. And that's just, by the way, that's the same amount of money we got 21 years ago. So, but, you know, we have strong support from our area legislators. We're petitioning Governor Stitt and the legislators for some assistance in building our new science building. So it's a new day. The people in Claremore are generous. We're getting ready to have our annual RSU foundation auction, so we mm-hmm. continue giving. And why is that important? It's because it helps us graduate students debt-free, and that's our tuition and fees are reasonable. It's about $7,500 a year if you get no aid. Virtually everyone gets some aid, and half our students will graduate debt-free, and that's what should happen. Our average debt upon graduation, depending upon the individual, it ranges from $13,000 to $19,000. And I tell people that's about a fourth of a new Ford pickup.
So, there you go.
So, but well, we do believe that we have to keep it affordable and accessible. And so we're offering classes online through RSU TV. We're offering them on ground. We're offering strong concurrent enrollment in all the major cities we serve, and now we're offering classes at 41st and Yale. So a very bright future for Roger State University.
Absolutely. I appreciate you being here today, and we've been talking for a little while here, so I don't want to keep you too long. I know you got lots more important things to do than talk to me on a podcast, but at the same time, you had a little run-in with a nail in the tire this morning, and that's always a great way to start off any Monday.
It's a great day.
Here's the thing. This is what my dad told me a long time ago, that, you treat everybody with respect, from every, janitor up to the President of the United States type situation. And I think that you have done that.
Thank you.
Times over and over. And I appreciate everything you've done for me. And I really appreciate, your leadership in this role. Can you, for just a moment, give us, let's go off script here completely. We don't have a script at all, just so you guys know. but tell me one of your best memories, that this job has allowed you to do.
Well, I've been blessed to have it. And the first one that pops in my mind, it was a cold, rainy day, and I was early presidency here at Roger State, and I just got on the turnpike, and a friend from a foundation in Tulsa called me up, and he said, just want to let you know that we decided today to go ahead and give you $1 million to Roger State. And that was our first $1 million gift.
Wow.
And that was toward the H.A. and Mary Kay from the H.A. Mary Kay Chapman, Donnie and Jerry, Jerry Pittman and Donnie Pittman. So, but those two guys supported us. They gave us money to renovate Baird Hall, but that was the first $1 million gift when Jerry called and said, Donnie and I went ahead and honored your request, and we're going to give you $1 million towards the Chapman Dining Hall.
Wow.
So that was a big moment. And then when this young lady from Owosso said, you know, well, and she didn't tell me she would come. She just showed up on the first day of class, and I was thrilled. But then when she came to see me as a senior and said, would you write a letter for me in support of my medical school? And I was like, wow. Then she came to see me with a thank you note, and she said, I got accepted to three. And so that's so – if at all possible, I may even go to her hooding ceremony when she becomes a full-fledged MD.
Nice.
There's been so many of those wonderful moments, and I'm trying to figure out one of the moments that I had in my career as a legislator is I was selected to go to New York. I'd never been to New York. I was mm-hmm. pretty much a country bumpkin. But I got selected to go along with Stratton Taylor to the opening of the Will Rogers Follies, and we got to hang out with the mayor of New York and the cast, and little did I know that one of my future bosses had actually written and directed that Max Weitzenhofer, who is no longer on the OU board, but it was years before I knew that Max had written and drafted and directed the Will Rogers Follies. But that was a big moment for this old country boy.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
But I get rewarded every day when I see students. I have a particular reward right now. I've got three grandchildren at RSU.
Yeah, we didn't even touch on that yet. That's pretty impressive.
I believe in what we do. But when I see, another aha moment was one of our environmental biology graduates working for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife was able to direct $1 million gift through this conservation fund from New York. And so,
wow.
And so it was pretty cool to have those folks here on this campus. There's been so many moments. The Medal of Honor winner that we welcomed to this campus 2 or 3 years ago, that was an awesome moment to have a medal. There's so few Medal of Honor winners to have them on this campus, and so we appreciate our military heritage, and that was a very touching time, and we had the wall that heals here from the wall that goes around and to recognize the sacrifices of Vietnam veterans. But I can't answer your question in one moment. I wish there was one aha moment. Probably the best aha moment is when Dr. Moore said, I'm going to go ahead and put you to work as a faculty member. I'm going to sign you up for
started it all off.
Put it all off at $1,000 a month. I thought I'd reached. I thought I was in heaven. So
you've been budgeting for a long time. Is what you're
budgeting
saying.
A long time. So,
well, Dr. Rice, thank you so much for being here. This is Locally Home. I'm Travis Peck, and we are looking forward to doing more of these. Maybe we just do a whole hour of aha moments with Dr. Rice. We could do that at some point.
I could do a few of them because I've been so blessed. And I probably would have forgotten something, but I mean,
no.
A big shout out to Peggy. She's been a great first lady, and she's the uncompensated volunteer here that gives up her time. And the first few years, she was writing checks to help get the president's residence ready to entertain in. So, but anyway, big shout out to my partner and best friend and wife, Peggy.
Thank you so much for listening to Locally Home here on the RSU Radio Podcast Network. Please subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. We hope to bring you more information about Claremore and Rogers State in the future. So join us next time on Locally Home.